I'll open our Bibles again to Psalm 30, which we read a few moments ago. This is the Thanksgiving season, so I thought I'd bring a message on Thanksgiving. And you'll notice that in this reading, twice, it mentions this. Verse 4, sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. And then verse 12, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. We celebrate Thanksgiving as a national holiday, and you may wonder, is this in the Bible? Is this like Christmas or in the Old Testament, Passover? Is this some biblical thing? Well, let's look at that. Yes and no, it's in the Bible. Deuteronomy 16, God had commanded one of the annual festivals for the Jews to be one of a harvest Thanksgiving about the time we celebrate Thanksgiving. Some Jews today still observe it if they are observant Jews. But Colossians 2 says that those Jewish festivals have been fulfilled in Christ. They're no longer mandatory today. We don't have to sacrifice a lamb at Passover. Don't have to go to a temple at Yom Kippur. And yet for centuries, people all around the world have celebrated harvest festivals. Even if they're not Jewish or Christians, they say, we're so happy the crops came in. And so over the centuries, Christians began to celebrate a harvest festival and remember the Thanksgiving festival in the Bible. And that gave rise to the first Thanksgiving in America, 1621, when the pilgrims invited the Indians and they had turkey and ham and dressing and corn, all the rest of that, and they gave thanks to God. And then gradually that became a tradition in other colonies, so that when we became a nation in 1789, George Washington, the first president, proclaimed November 26th as the first official Thanksgiving holiday for the United States. Then, 47 years or so later, Abraham Lincoln said, well, let's not just do it on the 26th, let's do it on the same day of the year every year, so it would be the last Thursday of November. And then in the Depression, Franklin Roosevelt, the president, said, well, let's move it to the third Thursday, and it's been suggested that he did that to increase Christmas buying by one extra week, perhaps. And then, not much longer after that, Congress settled it by moving it back to the fourth Thursday of November, and that's why we celebrate it even to this day. Unfortunately, for most Americans, it's not Thanksgiving. They call it Turkey Day, and they want to watch football and have family reunions, but I wonder how many of them thank God for the food they're eating that day. I encourage you to take time to thank God, especially on Thanksgiving Day. Lead your family in prayer. And then think of what else you can thank God for. Let's answer five quick questions about thanking God. These are the five journalistic questions. Who, what, where, when, and why. Number one, who? Well, the Bible says we should all thank God. Everybody, even non-Christians. You should thank God, because we have so much to thank him for. Jesus thanked God. Matthew 11:25, he says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. If Jesus did it, so should we. So who? You. Whom should we thank? God alone. Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. We're not to thank other gods. Now, we should say thank you to people that do us a favor, but purpose of ultimate thanksgiving is to thank God. Let me share with you something that's kind of embarrassing. In an increasingly secular post-Christian America, it is not politically correct to say Merry Christmas or thank the Lord at Thanksgiving, so they change it around. You know, if they call Christmas a winter festival now. Well, they're also revising Thanksgiving, and in certain textbooks, in certain state schools, they have rearranged the story. So here come the pilgrims, and they invite the Indians, and they all get together, and the pilgrims thank the Indians. And they say, that's what the first Thanksgiving was about, not thanking this deity, but thanking the Indians. No, the pilgrims were very godly men and women. So who, whom? We, you, thank Him, God. What is Thanksgiving? What does it mean to say thank you? Well, it's an expression of gratitude. And when directed to God, it's a happy, humble appreciation for His free gifts to us. Now, we thank other people, or at least we should, when they give you a gift or do you a favor. And you can say it in German, danke, Spanish, gracias, or in Italian, grati, or in other ways, in French, merci, beaucoup, but it means appreciation, thank you. Some Southerners will just say, appreciate that. They won't even put A in the beginning. Appreciate that. It's an expression. Maybe send a thank you note to someone. And when we address our thanks to God, it goes through the Lord Jesus. Paul said in Romans 1, I thank God through Jesus Christ. This is an important part of prayer. Prayer is not just simply bringing our requests. It's bringing our praise and our repentance and our thanksgiving to God. It's a duty. Ingratitude is a sin. Romans 1:21 lists it right up there with murder, theft, immorality, and other things. We should be grateful. And isn't it discouraging and disappointing when you find out people that have so much to thank God for don't thank Him? I imagine that's disappointing to God and the angels. We sometimes feel that disappointment when we do something for someone. Or I remember I gave someone a large amount of money when he really needed it, and he didn't even say thank you. When I was a boy, our family took a little vacation out in the country in Texas, and along this country road, we happened to notice a very expensive car pulled over on the side with a flat tire and a man in a suit trying to change the tire. So my dad said, son, let's go and help him. So we pulled over, and my father and my brother and I got out there, and we helped change the tire for the man. The man just stood there, and then we put the jack and the tire back in the trunk, and he drove off. I'll never forget, my dad looked at me and said, son, he didn't even say thank you. Are we like that? We should say thank you to the Lord regularly. So there's the who and the what. What about the where? Well, everywhere, anywhere. And especially in church. I opened in the scripture reading this morning by reading Psalm 100. And it says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. And so, as it were, the church is the courts of God. We enter into the gates with thanksgiving. We should thank God and have a spirit of thankfulness when we worship every week. Where? Anywhere, especially here, and then ultimately, mainly in heaven. Heaven is a place of much praise and worship and thanksgiving. Now, I remember asking one person that applied for church membership not too long ago, what do you want to say when you get to heaven? And he said, I want to say thank you. And that's a good answer. And we will go on thanking God forever and ever in heaven. Number four, when? Always. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things. Now, sometimes it's easy to say thank you. Just like a little child on Christmas opens up a big present and he wants to say thank you. But there are times, brethren, it's hard to be grateful. When we're very sick or without work. I remember a man many years ago that was without work, and he applied for a job, and they turned him down at several places. So he took what little savings he had and tried to start a little business. It worked for a while, and then it didn't, and everything turned around, and the bills mounted up. He was looking at $10,000 of bills that were overdue. His bank account was overdrawn, and he wondered how he was going to get by, what little inheritance he'd got from his late father had been spent, And he had used up what his mother had loaned him, and he was wondering how am I, and the rent was due in a few days. He didn't want to be evicted, but yet the man was a Christian. And so he got out, he looked through the cupboard, and the only food he had was one bowl of cornflakes. And he went to see, did he have any money, and he had one quarter to his name. And so he sat down at his table, and before he ate the cornflakes, he looked at the quarter, and with tears rolling down his cheeks, he says, "Lord, I thank you for that quarter and this bowl of cornflakes." He was still grateful. Well, later in the day, the mailman came and delivered a check for something in his little business, and it began to turn around. More checks came in. He was able to pay the bills and barely able to get by, and his friends helped him out, and then in the fullness of time, he had a job offer, and he took it in another state, and he's been working there for the last 25 years. As you may have guessed, I am that man, and I'll never forget being humbly grateful to God for that quarter and that bowl of cornflakes and how he provided after that. I share that, brethren, because you might be facing a difficult time. Unemployment, health problems, family problems. You can still say, "Lord, I thank you for what little I have," because I remember saying, "Lord, I still have you." And that can never be taken away. There is always cause for thankfulness. When? Anytime. It's also helpful to pray thankfully in advance. We had a man in our prayer group in the church back in Texas that he'd often do this. We'd pray for this or that, and then he'd say, "Lord, we thank you in advance for this, lest we forget later on." That's a good idea. Philippians 4:6 says, "In everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." We also find examples in the Bible of people regularly thanking God for the food, whether it's cornflakes in Dallas or turkey up in Massachusetts at the first Thanksgiving. Matthew 15:36, Jesus, when he was about to feed the 5,000, lifted up the few fish and loaves, and it says he thanked God and blessed. Let me encourage all of you to take just a few moments and thank God before every meal. Now, you say, "Well, what about when we're eating out?" Well, they haven't opened the restaurants yet, but let's assume that one day they will. I know some Christians want to make a big show of it. They say, "This is an opportunity to let our light shine and let everybody know that we believe in God." Yeah, but Jesus also said, "Don't practice your piety to be seen by other people." So use a little wisdom. Yes, you can pray in a public place, but don't do it to show off like the Pharisees. But at home, take a moment and thank God for the food. 1 Timothy 4:3 says, "Foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth." Fifth question, why? Because we're commanded to. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts and be thankful." It's a duty. It's a privilege. And because we have so much to thank God for. Such as what? Out in the lobby, we have among our several hundred free handouts a sheet of paper where years ago I listed 100 reasons to thank God. This morning I'd like to cull just a few of those from the list and put them in two different categories. You know, we sing a song called "Count Your Blessings." That comes back to my heart because many years ago in seminary, for a year or so, I lived in a very small apartment above a Skid Row mission, and I often helped them out, giving coffee to the men that were unemployed or on drugs or whatever. And at every meeting, we would sing that song, "Count Your Blessings." And you'd say, "Well, what do they have to thank God for?" Well, the preacher leading the meeting always reminded of something to count your blessings for. First category applies to everybody, Christian, non-Christian, whatever their gender, their age, their race, whatever. Bible says, "Let all that has breath praise the Lord." Well, here's the first thing, life itself. Acts 17 says God gives life to everybody. Where do you think we came from? Not just, well, certainly not evolution, and not just from our parents, but God created us, and we should thank Him for the gift of life. And as it says in Acts 17, not just life, but breath. Now, sometimes a little hard to breathe with a COVID mask on your face, especially if you have asthma, like some of us do, but I don't know if any of you have ever had a bad asthma attack. You feel like you're drowning and you're gasping for a breath. And you're hoping that this will pass, and then you thank God, I can breathe again normally. Thank God for every beat of the heart and every breath you take. Thank God for your health. Psalm 103 says, who heals all your diseases? It's not just the doctor and the medicine. God does it. And He does it in different ways. Has it ever occurred to you that God has built into our bodies recuperative processes whereby we usually get over something like the common cold and flu and stuff like that? Now, medicine helps, but imagine what life would be like if you never recovered from anything you've ever experienced. You'd still have every single bruise, every cut would still be bleeding, every burn would still be scarred. You'd still be walking around with the accumulation of every cold and flu that you've ever experienced. You wouldn't make it past 20. But think of how God helped you to recover from all of those. What if you had broken a leg and you'd still be in pain? Or if you'd never had that surgery, or if it was never successful. Thank God that He has put this into our bodies together with medicine and things like that. Then look around the world. Look out the window. Look up in the sky. Look at the beauty God has put into creation. And it brings a smile to our face. God put it like that. God created color. What if everything was simply black and white and gray? There are people that are colorblind like that. But thank God for beauty and for color. Psalm 19 says, this displays the glory of God. In Acts 17, Paul, speaking to certain pagans, said, thank God for the food and the beauty, all of this that brings pleasure to you. It all comes from God. We should say thank you. Thank God for the gift of music. What if there was no music anywhere? I don't know what kind of music you like. It might be pop, it might be rock, it might be opera. But what if there was no music whatsoever? The world would be pretty bland. What if, well, if there's no food, we'd all die. Thank God for food. Thank God for the variety of food. You know, there in some parts of the world where it's a lot of famine and people are poor, they eat the same thing at every meal their whole life. A bowl of rice. Parts of South America, it's just a bowl of corn, maybe with some beans thrown in. Other parts of the world, just bread. Thank God for the variety and the taste of food. What if you couldn't taste it? Some people that have tested positive for COVID says, I couldn't taste it. It felt like, you know, paper. And I knew a man that had surgery and he couldn't taste anything for the rest of his life. And I said, what does it feel like? He said, it's like if you put a hamburger in your hand, you can feel if it's warm and you can feel if it's rough, but you can't taste it. He said, that's what it's like when I put a Big Mac in my mouth. He had missed the sense of taste. We should thank God that food can taste good. Thank God for the farmers. And for the cattle ranchers, too. The grocery stores, those that provide food for us, the restaurants and others. But thank God who's behind all that. Thank God for family. Thank God for your parents, even if they're not perfect. No parents are. The kids should thank God for their parents, and they should thank their parents as well. Thank God for your brothers, your sisters, your children. Thank God for your grandparents and grandparents. Thank God for your grandchildren. This applies to everybody. Thank God for your friends, new friends, old friends. Thank God for freedom in America. Thank God for the men and women that laid down their lives so that we can be free. We don't live under a dictatorship, be it communist or Nazi or some tin pot dictator. We can vote. We can travel. You know, under certain dictatorships, you have to have written permission even to go 50 miles. We don't have to do that. We have freedom. We have a good constitution. We have courts of appeal. Thank God for the Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, Coast Guard, National Guard that protect us. Thank God for the police, the firefighters, the national security agents and others. Thank God that not only don't we live under a dictatorship, we don't live under anarchy. If there was anarchy, there'd be no law and order. It'd be all dangerous. Thank God that we have freedom and security. Thank God for schools, teachers, books. Thank God for doctors, nurses, techs, medical students, medical schools, paramedics. Yes, even dentists. Thank God for that. Thank God for pharmaceutical companies, and thank God that they have discovered vaccines for COVID. Has anybody here said thank you to the Lord just recently when that was announced? Praise the Lord. Thank God for drugstores, medicine, insurance. Thank God for hospitals. It's humbling to notice that in certain poor parts of the world, there's like one doctor for every 20,000 people, or even more, 100,000, and not a hospital within 200 miles. We should be humbly grateful. Occasionally, as a pastor, I visit people in the hospital, and I've listened to people and encouraged them, but sadly, sometimes they just gripe, and I'm thinking, when I've been in the hospital, I'm just glad there's a hospital to be in. And thank God for the doctors, and I thank the doctors, and I tell them I'm praying for them. Thank God for charities like the Red Cross, the American Cancer Society. They do a lot of good. Thank God for your home. Thank God for modern technology that makes life just a little bit easier. Electricity, television, cars, computers, cell phones. You know, sometimes we wish we could live in the good old days. You know, you watch old TV shows like Gunsmoke, or you watch Little House on the Prairie. Say, oh, it'd be so nice. They didn't have electricity. They didn't have computers, cars, cell phones. After a while, you'd say, oh, bring me back to the 21st century. But thank God for modern technology. Thank God for your possessions, your clothes, pictures of loved ones no longer with you. Thank God for things that you own that don't mean 25 cents to anybody else, but your late mother left that to you, or your granddaddy gave it to you, and you wouldn't take $1,000 for it. Thank God for precious possessions. Thank God for clean water and air. Missionaries will tell you, there are parts of the world, you always have to siphon out the water and boil it before you drink it because it's filthy and the air is polluted. Thank God. We have clean water and air. Thank God for animals, including your pets. Thank God even for that neighbor's dog that barks too much and wakes you up. Thank God for the opportunity to be forgiven all of your sins absolutely freely. If you're a non-Christian, thank God that the gates are still open. God is still inviting you. He's not closed the gate. Thank God for the opportunity to go to heaven and not to hell. What if you had never heard the gospel? What if nobody had ever told you about Jesus? Now, that's for an unbeliever. But thank God that there are Christians. So let's look at specifically now things that Christians can thank God for on a higher level than all these other things that everybody can and should thank God for. We have believed. Why? God saved us. Thank God for electing us and predestining us. Thank God He gave you the gift of faith and repentance. That's a gift. Every gift should bring from us thanksgiving. We have more to thank God for. Thank God for your fellow Christians, the family of God in this place. You know, earlier we said thank God for friends and family. How about your spiritual friends and your spiritual family? Look around you, brothers and sisters in Christ. You also have been saved. Thank God for the person sitting next to you this morning. Thank God for our church. We're still able to meet during the COVID crisis. I personally thank God for my fellow elders and for the deacons here and for the Sunday school teachers. I thank God for several volunteers that do a lot of work behind the scenes that you don't know about, but God knows. And I thank God personally for every single person here. Thank God for our little church. Thank God for other good churches in our community and around the world. Thank God for missionaries, such as those that we support and other ones with other missionary groups. Thank God that there's still good preachers and theologians around, even though other ones are apostatizing, bringing in heresy. Thank God there's still preachers that will stand up and say, "Thus says the Lord, and let's see what the Bible says." Thank God for reliable, dependable, orthodox theologians. Thank God for the Holy Bible. What if God had never given us the Bible? You know, it took centuries for God to use different apostles and prophets to write it. Thank God that God used those noble prophets and apostles to write down the Bible. Thank God that he also used those Jewish scribes and Catholic monks that kept copying the manuscripts for hundreds of years. And then thank God for Johann Gutenberg that invented the printing press. Thank God for the Bible publishers, the translators that have translated into hundreds of languages, including English. Thank God for that. You don't have to learn Hebrew and Greek or even Latin. You have it in your own language. Thank God for that. Thank God for the privilege of prayer. What if God said, "I'm going to save you, you're in my family, but I don't need your help to rule the world, so don't ask for anything, just leave that to me." You know, God being sovereign could have said, "You're saved, just be thankful for that, but I'm not going to let you pray." No, God has given us the privilege of prayer. Do we really value that? Here's a verse over in Ezekiel where God says, "This will I let them ask of me." In other words, it's a privilege where God, as it were, lowers the rope and says, "I'm going to allow you to come to me with your requests." Let's thank God for the privilege of prayer. Thank God for God protecting you from danger. Thank God that when you were very sick, and maybe you wondered if you were going to survive, God saw you through that. Thank God that he comforted you when you were very sick at home, in bed, or in the hospital. Have we forgotten what that was like? Let's search our memories and thank God that he has healed us. Thank God for his protection. If you were in a fire or in a bad car accident, or if you were in war, God saw you through that. Thank God for his protecting from the devil. Remember, I preached on the devil recently. The devil wants to take people to hell with him. God says, "You can't have him." Thank God that he protects us. And he's given us the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6. Thank God for each piece of that. Thank God also for the good angels that protect us behind the scenes. The Bible does say that. Remember, I said in heaven we'll get to meet those guardian angels. We'll say, "Thank you that you protected me." Thank God that he still uses angels in mysterious ways to protect us. Here's another thing that we should thank him for, but it's hard. Thank God that he chastens us out of love for our good. Hebrews 12 says, "He does it out of love, like a parent that does and says, 'It's going to hurt me more, it hurts you, but I do it because I love you and it's for your good.'" It's hard to thank God when he is chastening us for doing something wrong, but we need to thank him for it. Thank him for predestination and election. Thank God that he did not create you a fallen angel for whom there is no hope of salvation. Ooh, what if you were one of Satan's evil demons, knowing your ultimate doom? Thank God you were not created like that. Thank God that he has given you patience when you needed it, wisdom when you had to have it, strength when you're going through a trial. God gave these to you. Thank God for spiritual gifts to serve him with, whatever it is. Thank God for the peace that he gave you and the comfort he gave you when you were really hurting. When you were mourning the death of a loved one, a parent, a spouse, a child, and the tears flowed, and God was there to comfort you and to wipe away the tears. Continue to thank God for being there when you really needed him the most. Thank him for the peace that passes all understanding. Thank God for the love of God and all of its flavors: grace, compassion, tenderness, loving kindness, mercy. All of those are different forms of the love of God. And guess what? They're all absolutely free. Say, thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank God for salvation. Now, what was that song we used to sing a few years ago? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. For thy great salvation, so full and free. Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness, reconciliation, redemption, justification, the new birth, adoption, eternal security. Have you ever thought to thank God that you're not in hell right now where you deserve to be? That's pretty humbling. The people there now. Thank God you're not there. And if you're a Christian, you never will be. Thank God for the gift of faith and repentance. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about His being given to us. He is with us. He is in us. He comforts us. He leads us. He helps us to pray and so many other things. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. I read something in Jonathan Edwards a few years ago. Have you ever read a Christian book and your eyes light up and say, I never thought of that? And when I read this in Edwards, I put the book down and I literally walked around my living room and I said, I never thought of it like that. And I read it again. I said, that's profound insight. And it had to do with the Holy Spirit. What he said was this. All these great gifts of love, salvation, the new birth, peace, all those are simply another way of saying the gift of the Holy Spirit. The love of God comes through the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which He has given to us. The peace of God is a fruit of the Spirit. All of that is just simply different aspects of that wonderful gift of experiencing the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the Holy Spirit. We need to thank God for entrance into heaven one day. And we'll get there one day. And we'll see God. Again, that would be a great gift if God says, you can come to heaven, but you don't get to see me. Oh, there'll be no more sin or anything like that. But God has said, I will give you the privilege of actually seeing my face. They shall see His face, the Bible says. And then there'll be no more pain or sin. That's only temporary in this life. Thank God for that wonderful future. Thank God that He'll give us a new body one day. Perfect, healthy, young, strong, handsome. No sin, no pain ever again. Brethren, this is just part of a list. But I've saved the best for last. What is the greatest gift God has given us? The Lord Jesus Christ. You know John 3:16. God so loved the world. God so loved you. He gave His precious darling Son for you and to you. It would have been wonderful if He had given an angel or the whole universe. But He has given us something that is infinitely more valuable than anything and everything combined. Jesus. 2 Corinthians 9:16. Thank God for His inexpressible gift. The word there means it's beyond words. How can we ever say thank you? Earlier Shirley played a medley. I don't know if any of y'all recognize that. How can I thank you, Lord, by the great Andre Crouch, my tribute. How can I say thank you, Lord, for Jesus, the greatest gift of all. We thank God for His virgin birth, His sinless life, His atonement, His resurrection, the fact that He's interceding for us right now. We thank God for every drop of His precious blood that redeemed us. We thank God for the promise of His second coming one day. And recently I preached on my favorite verse in the Bible. I am His and He is mine. He actually belongs to us and we belong to Him. We can thank God for that. Brethren, these are just a few of the things we can be grateful to God for. I encourage you to have a spirit of true thanksgiving to God our Father. Shall we pray? Lord, what else can we say? but thank you. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.